for you. It's a interesting moment, you know, when we take over a diocese as a bishop. As vicar general, I kind of was the XO of the ship in Corpus Christi for 7 years, and so got to see all the ways that the bishop functioned and worked, but didn't have to sit in the chair. And of course, we had a humorous moment at the cathedral. We were having lunch. This was after my ordination to the episcopacy, and a couple of the priests were there, and they were asking some questions, and they were asking for the bishop to answer the questions. And I was looking at Bishop Morin, thinking he was going to answer it, and then it hit me. I am the bishop, so I got to answer. And so it ended up being very, very good. And I think part of what I'd like to talk about today is the call to leadership, because this is a leadership breakfast. And we never know, how the Lord's going to work in our lives. And so there's a humorous story of a little five-year-old and his mother, and the mother is fixing dinner, and she's trying to get all the ingredients, and she realizes she needs some tomato soup. And so she asks little Tommy to go get some tomato soup. And little Tommy is afraid to go into the pantry because the pantry is dark and doesn't have a light in it. So she encourages him. He gets about halfway and says, "Mommy, it's dark in there. I don't think I want to go in." And she said, "Don't worry, Jesus will be with you." So he gets to the door of the pantry, and of course it's dark in there. And he's about to run back to her in panic. But then he gets an idea. And his mother overhears him say, "Jesus, if you're in there, would you hand me a can of tomato soup?" Well, in many ways, that's part of what happens to us in life. That we don't always see what's taking place as we go ahead. And we find ourselves sometimes challenged by the darkness, if you will, and by the dark pantry. And there's been many occasions when I have also, as now as bishop, said, "Jesus, would you hand me a can of tomato soup," or whatever's going on, you know, at that moment for the whole diocese. I had a couple of the students, the seniors, and bless you, seniors. Good to meet all of you that I've shaken hands with so far. It's a good class. It's a good group. Had a chance to visit with you a little bit, and one of the seniors asked me, "Well, you know, how do you become a bishop?" And I kind of shared with them a little bit. In these days, one, you need to be ordained a priest. So that's actually one of my first questions to you guys. Have you ever thought of being a priest? Have you ever thought of being a priest? The other is, have you ever thought of being a brother? Have you ever thought of being married? Have you ever thought of being a committed single person for the church? Because that's the call that's actually happening to each and every one of you. It's a special moment. And gathered here, and all the professionals that are here among us, that's the choices they have been making throughout their entire lives. And the brothers here and all of your teachers are actually, and I said this in my homily to the last graduating class, are giving their lives for you. They're offering their lives to you. And they are giving you example. So back to the little story of being called to be a bishop. It was not on my radar screen at all. But beware of people that call you that have accents. Because Archbishop Pierre, who's from France originally, he is our nuncio in Washington, D.C. He's like the ambassador of the Pope here to the United States. And his English is excellent, impeccable. His Spanish is excellent, and of course his French is excellent anyway. He called, and I heard the accent, and I said, "Uh-oh, they know my name." Then I go, yes, Your Excellency. And so we talked a little bit, and he just simply said, the Holy Father wants you to be the fourth bishop of Biloxi. And we had a bit of a conversation after that. And then he asked again, the Holy Father wants you to be the fourth bishop of Biloxi. Now, context, and Blake just shared with you, I was 39 years a priest in Corpus Christi, so I'm fairly grounded, in fact, rooted, in fact, in concrete almost, and thinking, Lord, you're going to move me to Biloxi, Mississippi, which, by the way, is where I have come to summer camp when I was a boy, 1960, 61, 62 years ago, right here. And so I knew the area a bit. And so eventually I asked him, I says, you know, this comes as a really big surprise. I'm just taken aback. And he smiled, I could tell on the phone, and he said, I get that a lot. I get that a lot from everybody. And of course, I ended up saying, yes, I would come to serve in this diocese. And part of the call that each of us have, and that you have as seniors especially, as I was talking with a brother here, that you are mentors in a real way for the underclassmen. And the example that you give is really important. Just as the example that I give as bishop, or the example that Father Mike gives as a priest, and all of our, those that are married, those that are single, the example we give is really important. And it really, people are watching. And your classmates are watching, especially. For those that are the teachers, there's a cute little story I told to the teachers at the mass we had for the opening of school. But this one also is for you, the students. There was a teacher, we'll call her Mrs. Jones, and there was a little guy in her class, probably a sixth grader. We'll call him Liam. And Liam was one of those kids that had all kinds of stuff going on. So the relationship with you, if you got some of your brothers that you know has stuff going on, that's what the story's about. And so at the story, as we gathered, and I talked, I said, you know, Mrs. Jones told me that Liam was one of those students that probably had ADD, ADHD, and ABCD. I mean, everything. Probably had everything. And it was a tough day for her. So she wrote a little prayer. And the prayer said, what she wanted to write was, Dear Lord, Liam is having a really bad day. Please assume me into heaven right now. Well, what she actually wrote, though, was, Liam is having a very bad day. Help him to become the man he is called to be. The man he's called to be. And, of course, Liam, being Liam, stole the note. But at the sixth grade, he didn't understand what it meant. And some 10 years later, he found the note again, and he was about to do something really bad, something that was going to hurt his life and career forever. And he found the note and he read it, and he finally realized what Mrs. Jones was trying to tell him, to be the kind of man that the Lord is calling him to be. And that's the invitation to each of you as seniors, to be the kind of man that the Lord is calling you to be. And part of that means to be able to work towards it. And part of you as seniors and your studies and all the different other extracurricular activities you have calls you in a very special way to grow in the Lord. That's where a vocation really comes from. And it's a vocation not to just to the priesthood, not just to the brotherhood, but it's a vocation to marriage, and it's a vocation also to committed single life. The doctors that you've seen here, those that are lawyers, those that are, you know, in the different professions, banking, all of that doesn't happen by magic. It happens by example, and it also happens by letting your heart be open to development and to grow as witnesses of Christ. I didn't become a bishop years ago, didn't become a bishop. I became a bishop because the Holy Father called me to be a bishop. It's like asking, you know, the Lord in the darkness to can me a can of tomato soup. You never know. Never know what the Lord's going to do. But the Lord is going to do something in your life. The Lord is going to help form you and shape you to become the man you are called to be. And that's what I'm praying for you, that you may be who God is calling you to be, and that you may be open to who God is calling you to be. There's a lot of noise out there. There's a lot of choices out there. There's a lot of things that you can do out there. Open your heart, though, to the Lord and let him speak to you. At your tables, by the way, in this new age, we do social media. And so all of you have a card from me. And these are the social media things, if I can find it in my deal. So it's this card. And these are the social media connections that I'm doing. So I will text you and I will also Instagram you every day to have some connection with you. And done in love for you. And then the other parts are part of our communication with the Diocese of Biloxi in a special way. So I encourage you to set me up on your phone. And Jesus, by the way, didn't have a card like this. But he did know how to speak to his people. And he did know how to love his people. And that's part of the call for you. You're going to be loving on your classmates. And loving on the faculty, by the way. They would appreciate it. No poison apples, by the way. Just special moments when you can say thank you to them. And if something happens between you and one classmate, good, thank them. If something happens that's bad, figure out how to make it good. Figure out how to make it a blessing in your life. Why don't we pray, especially for the people of Corpus Christi and the folks that are going to be affected by this hurricane? So we pray in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Intercession of Our Lady. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. St. Louis, pray for us. It's my feast day, by the way. So blessings to you all and prayers. God bless.